has been announced as our song of encouragement and invitation for this evening. I believe the title of that song is Trust and Obey, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to trust Him and obey Him. So if there's anyone who needs to start out trusting Him by obeying the gospel tonight, we want to encourage you to do that. There are those who have walked contrary to His will. We want to encourage you to trust Him more, to know that if you turn away from it, He will forgive you of your sins. And if you need to confess, then do that. Or maybe you just need prayer for a special reason in your life or in the life of someone else. Trust Him to know that He is a God that answers prayer. We're grateful that He is a God that hears and answers prayer. Tonight I want to talk a little bit more about attitudes. We talked about some attitudes this morning, and my lesson for this evening is designed to continue that thought, because again, it's all about our attitude. We need to have the proper attitude. I know your title in the bulletin says How Some Read the Bible. We're going to talk about the attitudes that some people have in reading the Bible, in particular in making application of it in their lives. But if you would notice Luke chapter 10 for a scripture passage this evening, Luke chapter 10, verse number 25, the reading says this, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And then the reading continues. Jesus tells him the story of the man who was victimized by the thieves on his way down to Jericho. And of course, the story ends, as you know, I'm sure, familiar with the story, that he asked this man who had asked him the question, who was neighbor, and he said, the one basically that met this man's need. And he says, you go and do thou likewise. But with the passages that we have shared in reading, it's interesting to note that in answering the man's question, Jesus didn't come straight to the point with the answer. But he wanted to deal with the man's heart, the man's attitude. So thus, when he agreed with the answer that the man gave him to the question that he asked, Jesus drew out the real reason for his asking. Bible again says that he asked this question, tempting Jesus, or trying him. But his motive was not pure. His attitude was not right. And so again, verse 29 says, but he willing to justify himself, or to make himself approved, or even to appear righteous. He willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus, knowing this man's heart, as he knows the heart of all men, he knows our heart tonight. He then, again, as I've said, he tells him this story of this one who was victimized by these thieves. So when Jesus asked the man, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Jesus basically was saying, what's your attitude when you read the law? What is your real attitude when you read the law? Remember again, this is a lawyer, and the King James Version says the lawyer. He's a lawyer, but basically, this was a scribe. This was the term basically for a scribe, those who copied the law. So he knew what the law said because he was one that participated in copying the law. He had read the law. He knew what the law said. So Jesus says, how do you read it? How do you understand? What's your attitude toward what you have read? So tonight, my title again is How Some People, or How Some Read the Bible. What's the attitude that people have in reading the Bible? Everybody that reads the Bible don't have the same attitude toward it. We talked about some of that this morning, and we're going to go on and say a little bit about it, or more about it tonight. How do some people read the Bible? Well, I want to leave with us this evening a few cases of some attitudes of individuals who knew what God's Word said, but yet most of them didn't respond properly. Get to the end, I'll talk about one who responded properly. Many people, or I should say some people, read the Bible with the attitude of the scribes and the Pharisees. Have you ever thought about that? Some people read the Bible with the attitude of the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees, in particular the scribes, as I've said, were the ones who copied the law. They were schooled in the law. But Jesus said this concerning the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 1 beginning. He says this, or the Bible says this, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and what? Do not." They tell you the right thing, but they don't do it. They know what the law says, but they don't do it. Can you see that in the attitudes of some people who read the Bible? Know what the law says, know what the scripture says, but will not do what the scripture says. That's the attitude, that was the attitude of the scribes and the Pharisees. Reading a little bit further, the Bible says, talking about those who sat in Moses' seat, those who knew what the law says, who knew what the word of God says. He says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works," he says, "they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplace and to be called rabbi." Rabbi, a teacher, teacher. They know what the law says, but they will not do what the law says. But they love to be looked upon of men as being someone special. They love that. Again, all their works, he says, they do for to be what? Seen of men. There are some folks that know what the Bible says. Here's some folks right here that we're reading about. Knew what the Word of God said, but they themselves would not do it. That's the wrong attitude to have. That's the wrong attitude to manifest in our lives. Looking for praise, looking for honor, looking for glory. And I believe Jesus said somewhere in the Sermon on the Mount that if you're looking for praise of men, that's all you're going to get. Men will give you praise, but that's all you're going to get. We need to have the praise of God. So we need to have the right attitude. We need to have the right motive. When we read the Bible, when we learn what the Bible says, we need to do what the Bible says. Again, the scribes and the Pharisees, they knew what the law said. But Jesus says they will not do it. And as a result of them not doing it, they wanted to appear like they were righteous, but they did not do what the word says. Jesus called them later on in the chapter 23, hypocrites. Read a little bit further with me, if you will, down about verse number 25. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness. Even so," he says, "also ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." It's easy to appear outwardly righteous to men. Come to church every Sunday. Go visit the sick. Help folks that are in need. All of those things are appearing to be righteous, but are we doing them for the right motive? Remember, Jesus sees and knows our hearts. So he says, these people, they appear outwardly that they're righteous folks. But he says, inwardly, their hearts are not right. They are full of dead men's bones. And so Jesus called them hypocrites. Let's not be hypocrites. As we study God's word, let's make sure that we make application of it in our lives. Let's not just be pretenders, but let's be real. Be the real Christian that God intends for us to be. And notice as he called them hypocrites. You know what Job said about hypocrites? In Job 27 and verse number 8, listen to what he said. He says, "For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he has gained, he appears righteous," yes. He appears like he has it all together. He appears like he's doing all the right things. "Though he has gained," he says, "when God does what? Taketh away his soul." Is there anything worse than losing your soul? I don't believe it is. That's why Jesus says over there that what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Let's not be a hypocrite. As we study our Bibles, let's do what the Bible says. Let's live from the right motive. Otherwise, God will take away our soul. So some have the attitude of the scribes and the Pharisees. But then, there's another attitude that I want to talk about. How some folks read God's word. In Luke chapter 13, verse number 1 through 3, listen to what the Bible says. "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans." And this is Jesus. He's having a conversation with a multitude of people. And he's talking about various things. And the Bible says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? He says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." What's the attitude that's coming out here? The attitude that my sins are minimal compared to somebody else's sins. And so God ought not to treat me harshly for my sins, because my sins are minimal compared to Travis's sin. Using Travis as an example and myself as an example. And this is the attitude and mindset of these people. Jesus knows their hearts. Again, they didn't ask the question. They didn't have that. Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. That's why he says, are you sitting up here thinking that these Galilean sins were worse than anybody else while they suffered such things? Jesus says, no, that wasn't the case. Because even though you may not have done the harsh things maybe that they did, but if you did something that was wrong, that was sin too. Sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3 and verse number 4 teaches us that. There are no such things as harsh or big sins or little sins. Yes, I understand, and we realize that some sins have perhaps worse or more severe consequences than others, but yet sin is sin. And so when people read the Bible, they say, well, that don't apply to me because, you see, I just told Brother Stone just a little white lie. But this sister or that brother, they told one of those, oh man, big lies. So that applies to them. No, a lie is a lie. A wrong is a wrong. A sin is a sin. And so we must not read God's word realizing what it says, what it's teaching us, and try to always point it to somebody else. It sort of reminds me, Brother Tim, I heard this told some time ago that this man would preach his sermon, and this one brother, as he would leave the auditorium, greeting the man after he preached, and says, brother, you really preached today. If they had been here, you would have told them. And he kept doing this time and time again. And so one day, there was a big snowstorm, and the brother lived close to the church building. Nobody got there but the preacher and his brother. And the preacher, knowing what he had done to him all these times, he says, maybe we ought to just sing a song and have the communion and go on home. But he said, no, I'm going to preach just like there were 300 folks here. So he did the same thing. He preached just like there were 300 folks there. And lo and behold, when the service was over, the brother walked by and says, you told them today, if they had been here, you would have told them. Not realizing that the sermon was for him also. He's still thinking that the sermon is always for somebody else. And that's the way it is sometimes when we look at the deeds that we do and we compare or try to compare them with the deeds that other people do that are wrong. We try to think that their wrong is so much worse than my wrong. And so I don't need to suffer God's condemnation for that. So let's not have that attitude when we read the Bible. The Bible is for us also. And when we have that type of attitude, you know what that might gender or what that might lead to? It might lead to us being a hypocritical judge of folks. What do I mean by that? Well, Matthew chapter 7 teaches us that. Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 1 beginning, notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? But considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite. As Jesus uses that word hypocrite again. He said, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So again, here's a man who is looking at somebody else's fault that's so much as being so much worse than his fault. And again, we can term it this way, it's a little fault that's in the brother's eye. But the man got a, quote, big fault in his eye. You notice a beam? You got a mote in your eye, and a beam in your eye, and you can't see your fault for looking around the beam at the mote in the other brother's eye. That's being hypocritical in our judgment. And a lot of time, again, people read the Bible, and again, they say, my fault is not as bad as his fault. A fault is a fault. A sin is a sin. A wrong is a wrong. Jesus says again, thou hypocrite. And what did Job say? Job said, the hypocrite don't have any hope. God will take away his soul. So let's not have the attitude then of those that were in Jesus' company who thought that the Galilean sins were so much worse than their sin. Jesus says, except you repent, you're going to perish just like they perish. But then there's another attitude that I want to share with us tonight, that sometimes people read the Bible with this attitude. Y'all remember Felix, a man named Felix in the New Testament, in the book of Acts? Acts chapter 24, verse number 24 beginning, the Bible says, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know what attitude Felix was displaying? I know what's right. I know what I need to do. But I want to delay doing it. I want to put off doing it until a more convenient time. People read the Bible. They know what God's words say, how they ought to live. But they want to sow their wild oats. When I get through sowing my wild oats, then I'll come back and do right. People read the Bible, and they know what the Bible says. But it's just not convenient for them in their minds to do it right then and there. So they're like Felix, they says, at a more convenient season, I'll call for you, even though I understand what you're saying to me, Paul. I understand that. That's why I'm trembling, because I know the judgment is coming. I know I need to be a righteous person. I understand it, but I'm just not ready to obey it and do what God says yet. There are some folks, no doubt, that you know the church is right, but they're just not ready to obey the Lord. Don't be that way. When we read God's word and when we determine what God's will is for our lives, let's do it. Because you know what? The only time we have to do God's will is when? Now. We can't wait until tomorrow. We can't wait until next week, next year. We don't know whether we'll get to that distant point in the future. We need to be obeying God now. God is going to judge us by what we do in the now. And if we make it to tomorrow, we'll be in the now. We keep doing what God tells us to do. If we make it to next week, we'll still be in the now. We keep doing what God tells us to do. Don't put off doing what we need to do until tomorrow, because we don't know whether tomorrow will come. James tells us about that. James chapter 4, verses 14, 13 through 17. And we don't know what's down the road. So Felix had the attitude that, I know what's right. I understand what you're saying again, but I'm just not ready to do it now. That's the wrong way to look at God's word. But here's the right way. In John chapter 2, we have the account of a marriage feast in Cana of Galilee. And the wine ran out. Not intoxicating wine. We don't have time to go into that right now, but I'll just say that. Not intoxicating wine, but the wine that they were serving, it ran out. The Bible says in verse number 2, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. But then verse 5 says this, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's the attitude to have when we study, when we read God's word, and when we understand what the will of God is for in our lives. Whatever he says to us, we need to do it. The mother couldn't provide the wine, but she knew who could. That's why she sent the servants to Jesus. Can we provide the way for ourselves? We can't do it, but we should know who can. Jesus, God, can provide the way for us. Therefore, since we can't provide the way for ourselves, as Jeremiah would say it in another way, Jeremiah 10:23, oh Lord, I don't know how to direct my own steps. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We don't know how to direct our steps, but we know who do. So the mother couldn't provide the wine, but she knew who could. So she sent her service to Jesus, and she said, whatever he says to you, you do it. So when we read our Bible, that's the Lord talking to us. So whatever he says to us, we need to have the attitude that I'm going to do whatever it is. And sometimes in our mind, it may be painful to do some of the things that he tells us to do. You remember the question that Peter asked, how often shall I forgive my brother? Till 7 times? He said, no, till 7 times 7. That would be painful for us to do. But that's what he tells us to do. We must have the attitude that I'm going to do it. Whatever he says to you, you do it. That's the proper attitude to have as we read our Bibles. And if we don't have any intention of doing the will of God, why even read the Bible? Somebody says, what's the difference in a person who knows what the Bible says and study the Bible, but yet he doesn't do it? What's the difference in him who don't even read the Bible and don't do what it says? No difference at all. So let's be a people then. As we read and study our Bibles, let's have the mindset that I'm going to do whatever the Bible says to us to do. I'm not going to be, again, like the Galileans, or the people who were talking about the Galileans. I'm not going to be like the scribes and the Pharisees that sat in Moses' seat. I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to be like the mother told her servant, the mother of Jesus, that is, told her servant, that whatever he says to you, do it. That's the great attitude and the right attitude to have. So the question then is, how do we read our Bible? Do we read them with that attitude? Or do we read them thinking that this portion applies to me, but that portion applies to somebody else because my sin is not as big as their sin? Do we read it with the attitude that, yeah, I know what it says for me to do, but I ain't quite made up my mind yet. I'm going to wait a little while, waiting for that convenient season. We may never get that convenient season. But if we do what the mother said to the servants, if we do like she instructed them to do, we won't have to worry if we never get to that other season that we want to get to. Just obey God in the now. Everything will be all right. As we close tonight, then, I will want to encourage all of us to do self-introspection. Look at ourselves and see what our attitudes are as we study God's Word, as we read the Bible. And if we find ourselves in the first three categories that we talked about, we need to make a change so that we can get in this last category, that I'm going to do whatever the Bible says. I'm not going to live a perfect life, no. First John tells me that. But as often as I find that I made a mistake not doing what the Bible says, I need to repent. I need to turn away from it. And Jesus' blood will cleanse me from my sins. What's your attitude again? Do you need to respond to the Lord tonight for confession after repentance? Do you need to respond to the Lord for baptism if you're not a member of the body of Christ, the church that he died for on the cross, the church that he wants all people to be members of in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven? It's the New Testament church. It's the church of Christ. Jesus only has one. Everybody needs to be a member of that one in order to be saved. Do you need to respond? If you do, why not? Do that right now while we stand and sing.
In the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will,
do you need to come? Would you come?
And we fall.